Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1103, our topic is nutrition, and the title is Easy Breakfast Options. Awesome. So we had a listener send in a question. Awesome. I love it. That's amazing. That's exactly what this podcast is for. And you may have caught on to like a trend here. I think I just said caught on. Jeez, it was. So it's early morning. Let's just see how I do. Hopefully it gets better from here. But you may have caught on to a trend starting where we're getting more and more podcasts in which I'm saying, you know, we're answering to a listener's question. We're getting a lot more interaction, which is just freaking awesome. I love it. And it just makes me super happy. So thank you. The podcast was 100% intended to be for you, the listener. Whatever in the world was holding you back, I wanted to be able to provide answers so you could live your healthiest and happiest life. So I'm extremely, extremely excited. And it's just very grateful for the opportunity when people do send in questions. So thank you. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, this listener, they're at college, and they're new to college. This is their freshman year. They have kind of breakfast halls at college, like places they could go, or like, I guess, like lunch halls or mess halls, whatever they're called, and dining halls. There you go. There are some options for them, but they can't, like, the best ones don't open until 9 a.m., and they're trying to figure out what do they do before 9 a.m. for a good, healthy breakfast option. Now, they went to a local kind of, like, bagel shop, but they're kind of freaking out a little because the calories and everything at the bagel shop is really high. So they're like, oh my gosh, I'm kind of like spending my entire day's worth of calories just in breakfast alone. What are some better options? So awesome question, wonderful question. We're going to kind of talk about this in the scheme of kind of looking at what our calories should be. And is it actually a bad thing that we have a really high calorie breakfast? It's actually not. So I'll lead you into that little secret. And then kind of how do we know what makes a good breakfast depending on our type of activity? So how do you know for you? And then we'll look at some different options. But the first thing we need to know is like how much should I have for breakfast? If you don't count calories, and let's say you don't really have a specific goal. You're just, okay, I don't want to get fatter. It'd be kind of nice if I lost a little weight, but I'm not really going to put that much effort into it. Well, then you should eat a breakfast that you feel comfortable with in terms of amount. You should definitely eat something. Eating nothing, we've talked about this before, is our body operates off of energy, like caloric energy. If you don't eat calories, our body still needs calories to move and do the things that we want to do to be alive. So what it does is it pulls that from body fat. So throughout the course of our life, we overate sometimes compared to other times, and we consumed more calories than our body really needed. And it said, hey, you know what? We might as well save some of this, you know, that way in case they miss a meal here or there, in case we're underfed here or there, we have a way to protect ourselves and still run our organs and, you know, still operate the activities we need every day to stay alive. Well, the more inconsistent you are with food, or the more you underfeed your activity, the greater the body feels the need to protect that, so it creates more and more body fat. Meaning that if we eat in the beginning of the day, and we don't put our body in an enormous deficit, maybe just a small deficit, it doesn't need to create and hold on to as much body fat, so therefore we can be leaner. And if we do it at a small deficit, it has to use up a little bit of body fat every day, but it doesn't feel the need to replace more than it used up. And over time, we can kind of coax the body to let go of more and more body fat. So if you eat early in the day, it allows you to be leaner because the body doesn't put as much of a priority need on the storage and formation of body fat. So we definitely want to eat at the beginning of the day, okay? So that debate is over. We do need to have breakfast. We should have breakfast. We should have some calories. Now, some people will say, well, I'm not that hungry in the morning. Who cares? Learn to eat anyhow. You know, drink a little bit of food. Drink a little bit of liquid. One of the main reasons why people don't feel hungry in the beginning of the day is because they're dehydrated and our body requires water to process and break down food. So if you're dehydrated, the body's going to say, I'm kind of dehydrated. Don't throw any food in me yet. Hydrate me first. So if you don't purposefully do that, if you don't purposefully start hydrating yourself, you might randomly drink a little bit of fluid here or there throughout the morning, and then all of a sudden at lunch you now feel hungry. Well, it's because you're finally hydrated enough to eat. So if you drink fluid at the beginning of the day, you can actually overcome the dehydration, and your body will want the food faster. There's an example, real quick example, is I had a client that I do Zoom consultations with every week. So it's an online client. We meet virtually every single week. And one of the things we were going over in a recent meeting was she gets ill. She actually gets an upset stomach because she doesn't feel good when she drinks fluid in the morning. Well, she's actually chronically dehydrated. Her average intake is at a half a gallon of water or less every day. Not enough at all. Not at all. No. So what happens is when her body gets like hydration, it almost doesn't know what to do with it in the sense that it's not used to it. Now, does our body know how to process water? Yes. But if it's chronically dehydrated, part of the problem is if she starts to try to drink water, it lowers her kind of like blood sugar in her blood. She gets kind of clammy skin. She gets kind of lightheaded, gets that nauseous feeling. So what I told her to do was start drinking a little bit of glucose, like a little bit of sugar with her fluid. And that could be like watered down fruit juice or watered down Gatorade. And that's going to actually help a lot because it's going to get her hydrated, but it's not going to kind of dilute her blood sugar and her electrolytes. And she's going to feel a lot better as she tries to learn how to hydrate herself. So these are just kind of fun things that we go through when we do Zoom consultations with people all the time. It's awesome that most often people have individual issues that they have trouble finding answers for. Well, all I ever do is work with individuals, so I know a lot of answers. So it's pretty cool to have the opportunity to help people in that way. But I got way off sidetrack there, but hopefully that was helpful information to know. We do want to eat breakfast, and then how much we should eat for breakfast, we want to know if you want to have better results than just, I don't want to get too fat. So if you don't want to be too fat or, you know, you don't really have a major goal, just eat something for breakfast that still leaves you hungry by the next time you want to eat. So if you eat breakfast and then you eat lunch at noon, you know, if you eat something that doesn't, like, it's enough that you don't get super hungry before noon and you want to, like, punch everybody in the face, you know, make sure you eat more than that. But if you eat so much for breakfast that you're not even hungry at noon and sometimes you skip lunch, that's too much food at breakfast. So you can kind of play based on how you feel at lunch or at your next scheduled meal. Now, if we want more precise results, we're going to be counting calories so that way we can systematically get leaner, systematically build muscle, systematically get stronger. You know, so if you're a counting calorie type person, you need to figure out how many calories you need in your overall day. That's podcast 153. We talk through that. So you can go into that for more details. If you can't find that podcast, just Google search podcast, Brutal Iron Gym podcast 153. How many calories do I need? You can listen to that. Now, the shortcut version, and this is very shortcut, so please go listen to 153 if you haven't, is body weight times 11 to 13. So whatever you weigh, multiply that by 11 to 13, and that'll keep you where you are. 11 is kind of like your low activity days. 13 is your high activity days. You can think of this as non-training and training days. So on training days, eat body weight times 13. On non-training days, eat body weight times 11. Now, if you want to lose weight, you might have to bump that down to like 10 and 12. If you want to build muscle, you might have to bump it up to 12 and 14. You have to play with that a little bit, okay? Now, if you do that equation and you're like, holy crap, I eat so much less than that, there's no way I could eat that many calories. You're right that you shouldn't just jump to that. If you've been chronically under eating, then you need to slowly build your calories up so you can make your body healthy. Too often when people are trying to lose fat, they under eat so severely their body doesn't change. There's no fuel for change. They're so deprived in calories, their body just kind of feels static and stuck. It's not actually fueled enough to make the changes you want. So if you want it to kind of lose body fat, but you're never giving it enough food, you're actually, by not giving it enough food, you're reinforcing why it has body fat. Ugh. And then if you want to work out and build muscle, but you're not eating enough food to actually build the new muscle tissue with, then you're not going to get a change. So a lot of times people can be stuck in fat loss and in body compositional benefits because they're under eating. So if you do that equation, body weight times 11, and you're like, holy crap, I'm way under that, listen to podcast number 1099, so just a couple podcasts ago, four podcasts ago. It was our past nutrition one. It's titled How to Increase Calories If You've Been Under Eating. And in the shortened version, please go listen to this podcast for the longer version, is find your average, like whatever your average is, add 100 calories every 2 weeks until you're at the healthy range. So if you currently eat body weight times 8, okay, well, figure out what that is, eat it for a week. add 100 calories to that day, eat that for another week or two. Add 100 calories to that day, eat it for another week or two. Add 100 calories for that day, eat it for a week or two. And then you want to walk your way up until you're in that range of body weight times 11 to 13. Very commonly, somebody will come to me and they have chronically under-eaten in order to lose fat. I actually have them eat more and they get leaner because they were under-fueling fat loss process. So as we ate more food, we could actually fuel the body's changes that it was wanting to make, but it couldn't make because it didn't have enough food, enough calories, enough energy to make those changes. So you have to fuel the changes that you want in your body. You can't starve change. You have to fuel change. So the first step of kind of finding easy breakfast options is to actually know your calories. So you have to find out your total daily calories. Like we said, that's body weight times 11 to 13. If you're below that, listen to podcast 1099. Find out how to get to the right range. Now, what you want to do is the second step is to think of when you want to have your calories. We know how many calories we should have per day, but when should I have them throughout my day? We want to listen to podcast 249, which is titled Meal Timing. And basically what it refers to is you want to eat more when you're more active, eat less when you're less active. You want to fuel the body when it's needing to move and do things, but you don't want to overfuel it when it's sitting on its butt doing nothing. The more you match your intake to your activity level, the less body fat your body needs to store, and you can actually look leaner and be leaner. So pretty awesome. Now, typically, breakfast is right before we start into our day. So it's actually a great time to have high calories because you're about to go use them. Now, if I sit on my butt in class, like as a college student, or I sit my butt at work in, you know, in front of a computer at desk, then maybe I don't need a ton of calories, but eating a high calorie meal for breakfast is actually a pretty good thing because it fuels you ahead of your activity throughout the day. Then you can eat slightly less throughout the rest of the day, and you end the day without that big splurge of food that we all normally do when we undereat during the day and we overeat before night, before bed. That causes us to have high body fat. If I eat a lot in the beginning of the day and then I eat less and less and less throughout the day as my activity goes down, you actually have way less need for body fat. You'll actually be a lot leaner. So one of the things, if you listen to podcast 1099, we said that was a podcast titled How to Increase Calories If You've Been Under Eating. That explains one of the methods I use with clients is what's called a 4-hour block method. Is we divide our 24-hour day into 4-hour blocks. That's going to give you 6 units of 4 hours. 2 of those units, you're asleep pretty much. Now I know if you only sleep 5 hours or 6 hours, you know, there's a little bit of kind of goofiness in the math, but the premise still works really well. The first 4 hours you're awake, that's kind of the first unit of time you want to like measure and monitor. So we think of 4, like we know we're asleep for 2 of the 6-hour blocks. That leaves 4 4-hour blocks that we're awake. When do your 4-hour blocks start? As soon as you wake up. So the first 4 hours you're awake is unit 1. The second 4 hours you're awake is unit 2, and so on. So what you want to think of is you can divide your daily total divided by 4. And that gives you how many calories you should have in each 4-hour block. This ensures we don't undereat during the beginning of the day and overeat at night. It helps us kind of spread those calories out. If I wanted to get more precise, I would think to myself, okay, which block am I more active in? Which block am I less active in? So say I work out in the morning. I might want to take a little bit of calories away from the end of the day block and put a little more calories into the beginning of the day block. You can play around with that. But the idea is to make sure you don't undereat all day and overeat at night. It's actually better to flip-flop that, eat a lot at the beginning of the day, and then eat less and less and less throughout the day. So that's what we want to do. Step 1 was to know your calories. Step 2 is to divide your calories up by 4 so you have an idea of how many calories should be in each block. And you can take the next step is give a little more calories to the blocks you're most active, a little less calories to the blocks you're less active. Cool. Now, what that does is it actually gives us permission for a good-sized breakfast, and it might actually be higher calories than you had previously thought if you wouldn't have went through steps 1 and 2. You might have thought before a 400-calorie breakfast, you'd be like, oh my God, that's way too much, and now you look at it and you're like, actually, that's spot on. That's actually what I should be eating. And this guilt that you've been having about a big breakfast might actually be not worthy, like not warranted, because it was actually the right size. So it helps to know things that we're not having to beat ourselves up emotionally and mentally for things that we shouldn't have to be beating ourselves up emotionally and mentally for. Okay? Now, step 3 is what nutrients do I want from breakfast? So if I want a good breakfast, what makes a good breakfast good? Well, What do you know? We have a podcast for that. Podcast 861, titled What Makes a Good Meal Good, will help us learn what makes a good breakfast good. So that's the idea. So what we can do is we can listen to Podcast 861, and it helps us go a deeper dive into what I'm going to do today about how we can pick the right type of foods for what we're doing. In general, what it teaches us is carbohydrates and fats are the nutrients we get energy from. Protein is what our body uses to repair and fix itself. So if I'm thinking about energy and I don't want to overeat my energy because that causes body fat, or I don't want to eat really quick energy and then all of a sudden I have to wait 4 hours to my next meal, that's not good. But what if I'm super active right now? I want to eat food that digests really quickly so that way I can use that energy. So there's a time when we might want food to kind of slowly digest, and there are times when we might want food to digest right now so I can use that energy right now. Well, that's awesome because our food in this world is made with that as an option. Dietary fats, foods that have a lot of fats in them, digest very slowly. Foods that have carbohydrates digest quicker. Now, there's very quick carbohydrates like sugars, and then there's kind of like mediumly slow carbohydrates, and that would be like breads, bagels, pastas, rice, quinoa, things like that. So what we can think of is what am I doing after breakfast, and that'll tell me what I should have for breakfast. So if I'm a college student and I'm going to go sit on my butt in class, I don't want food that digests very quickly. I want it to digest kind of slowly. If I'm sitting at work, you know, at my desk, my computer, same thing. I want food that digests slowly. But if I'm about to go work out or if I have a very active job, I might want food that digests quickly. So I'm going to give a couple examples. Now, there's almost an infinite amount of examples, but I want to just give a couple that most clients of mine use, and this just starts you thinking about it based on what's available for you, okay? So, low activity, kind of sitting on our butt. We want protein because we want our body to have like repairs and maintenance things, so as I go throughout the day and as I'm busy throughout the day, my body can kind of keep up with repairs. And I want slow digesting energy nutrients, so I want slow digesting carbs and or fats. So one common meal is eggs and a bagel. So bagel, you can get like whole wheat bagel, or you can get a multigrain bagel. You can even just do a white bagel, that's okay. The fats in eggs, if you do whole eggs, the fats in eggs will slow down some of the digestion rate of the bagel. Now, if you mix carbs and fats in the same meal, the fats slow down the digestion of the carbs. So if you have a medium or a fast-based carb, but you mix it with a fat, it slows down that fast-based carb to a slower type of digestion. So that's one of the kind of keys to know is if you mix nutrients, you kind of are defaulting to the middle of them. Now, the counter is actually not true. So you can't eat a bunch of carbohydrates and put some fat in and it speeds up the fat. The fat kind of rules all. It slows down carbs, and carbs can't speed up fat. It just kind of like it's a cool way to have some medium or fast-based carbs if you like those types, but you can just pair it with fat and that way helps control it. So for example, people with diabetes need to control blood sugar. They can still have fast digesting carbohydrates or even like medium digesting carbohydrates if they pair them with fats. If they pair them with fats, it slows down the digestion. It doesn't cause as big of a glucose spike. So there's kind of cool like ways to kind of modify that. So eggs and a bagel, awesome opportunity, option. Bagel sandwich is something that I do. I put toast a bagel, put some lunch meat and a slice of cheese in the middle of it, smush it, and then eat it on the way to work. Some clients do Greek yogurt, which is protein, and they do granola mixed with that, which is kind of a slower digesting energy source. Another client does oats in peanut butter. They do quick oats, and they just stir in 2 tablespoons of peanut butter, and that slows down the oats. It makes a good meal. Another client does peanut butter on rice cakes with a banana. That's a little bit faster digesting because there's not as much fats in that, and the banana's kind of fast, but it's still a slower digesting meal than some of the other options we're going to talk about. So those are just some real quick examples. Whole eggs and a bagel sandwich, Greek yogurt and granola, oats and peanut butter on rice cake with banana. So that's some options. What we're looking at here is something gives me protein and something is a slow digesting carbohydrate and or fat. Awesome. Okay. So if you want to learn more about carbs and fats, podcast 21, so way the hell back when in podcast 21, there's a podcast titled Carbs, Good or Bad. So that way you can learn about that. And then podcast 29 is titled, If I Eat Fat, Will I Get Fat? And that talks about dietary fats. So you can listen to podcast 21, Carbs, Good or Bad, or podcast 29, If I Eat Fat, Will I Get Fat? And you can learn more about carb-specific foods and fat-specific foods, okay? Now, the other options we look for are like high activity. What if I'm about to be super active in a physical job or I'm about to go work out? Well, one you'd look for is some kind of protein and some type of quick digesting energy nutrient, some quick carbs. You don't really want a lot of fats. You want quick carbs. One of the options I do is going to sound really weird, but I don't like oats in a shake. I think the flakes of oats are kind of a weird consistency. It's so thick and chunky that you feel like you have to chew it, but it's so mushy that there's nothing to chew, and it just feels weird to try to swallow it. I feel like I'm about to throw up. So I use baby food rice cereal. Yep, I'm going to give that a second to kind of soak in. So I buy Gerber baby food rice cereal, dry rice cereal, and I use that as my carbohydrate base rather than oats. So it's much finer. Definitely doesn't make me want to throw up. I'll mix that with chocolate protein powder, and I'll maybe do some milk or some almond milk or something, and I'll drink that. If I want it to last a little bit longer, I actually throw in 2 tablespoons of peanut butter, so it can be like almost like a meal in between meals. So that's one of the options I do for a shake. Another option is just a small modification from one of the other options. We said whole eggs in a bagel would be a good choice. We can actually do egg whites in a bagel. And that way, since there's no fats in there, it digests a lot quicker. Another option clients will use is cottage cheese and fruit, or even Greek yogurt and fruit. Gives them protein, the fruit is quick digesting carbohydrates. Another option is typically just energy bars. So whether it's a granola bar, whether it's a protein bar, just some type of bar that has protein in it, but it typically will have twice as much carbohydrates and relatively low in fats. So those are some options to give you an idea of just kind of what would be some good ways to put together the information we would learn in step 3, which was which nutrients do we want for breakfast. And we said that was paired with podcast 861 titled What Makes a Good Meal Good. So once you listen to that podcast and you now know, okay, now I know how to evaluate and figure out what I want for my meals, what we just gave through is the options or ways through which you could kind of solve that problem. Okay, options that might work better for you. So that's it. So step 1 was to know your calories. Step 2 is to match your calories to your activity levels. Step 3 is to know what nutrients you need from breakfast. And then kind of in step 4, I gave you some different options. So hopefully this was helpful. Go listen to those podcasts that we mentioned, like the side podcasts, that you could deeper dive into understanding more about nutrition. And then you can just make healthier, happier choices and have more control over what's going on. So if you have any other questions, if anybody else ever needs anything, like we say, you're always welcome to reach out to us. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. I appreciate when everybody sends me messages and stuff. It's pretty awesome. As I said, that was the whole intent of what this podcast was for, is just to help people. If you're struggling with something and there's a way in which we can help, I would love the opportunity. It would make me feel good. So thank you to those who let me be part of their journey and let me help. I appreciate that. If you like the podcast in general, or you like this specific episode, please share it. The more people we share the podcast with, the more people we can help. So it's pretty awesome. And then thank you to the patrons of the podcast, people who financially support the podcast through the Podbean platform or through the link in our Instagram bio. You can do podcast donations. So thank you very much. Helps cover the cost of the podcast. So I appreciate that a lot. If you want more information from us, you can find us on social media, on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. If you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, if there's ever anything you need, I'm always here. Email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.